Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's a road show Friday ahead of the College World Series. We're at Zipline down in the Old Market, just in front of TD Ameritrade Park. The Eli Young Band going to be rocking later. And we invite you up, if you're headed this way, to partake and participate in all the extravaganza that is the College World Series and Zipline. We love you. Thanks for having us. And if you're a Nebraska baseball fan, it's time to pour a beer and cheers one another. Will Bolt is your new Nebraska baseball coach. That has been confirmed to HailVarsity.com. Also reported by Kendall Rogers. So celebrate, most of you, all of you, as Nebraska has found their next baseball coach. We had been waiting, right? We had been waiting, some of us patiently, some of us not so patiently. When's the news going to happen? Well, I mean, you got a bunch of different information out there. Some maybe early next week, maybe this weekend. You know Bill Moose. And you know Bill Moose is going to give you some sizzle. Part of that sizzle is you have media day for all the different teams. Dave Van Horn speaking a little more than an hour plus ago as Arkansas and Florida State will be under the lights, of course. And, man, what a day for Nebraska baseball to bring back one of the greats to replace a great. And we can talk about it. Loaded up for today. Friday Night Lights and the Pipeline Camp is going to go on tomorrow and tonight for Nebraska football recruiting extravaganza. Greg Smith going to be with us in about 20 minutes. So we'll take a break from All Will Bolt Radio to talk some recruiting. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer, has covered Nebraska baseball for decades. Mr. Mike Babcock going to be with us at 4:40. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports. Bill Dolman, bless his heart, was doing Nebraska baseball back when Buck Belzer still lived, the field, and there were three people in the stands. So we'll get Bill's take on Nebraska. My thought is thumbs up. You have so many advantages with a Will Bolt hire. I'll get to those in a second. And then if you are looking to make some money for entertainment purposes only, Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, is going to be with us in the second hour. Could join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Now, I am out to coach Will Bolt. We shall see. There's just an official announcement right now by the University of Nebraska and Keith Mann. And here it is. One of the catalysts for Nebraska baseball's rise to national prominence in his playing days, Will Bolt returns to his alma mater as head coach. Bill Moose naming Bolt the 24th head coach today in Nebraska baseball history. Bolt brings 16 years of coaching experience to the Nebraska program, 5 seasons on the baseball staff, 4 years as head coach at Texarkana College. And Bolt, of course, served as associate head coach for Darren Erstad from 2012 through 2014. Also a volunteer assistant on the 05 Nebraska team that reached the College World Series. As a player or coach, Bolt, part of 3 of Nebraska's College World Series teams, and all 4 super regional appearances in the history of the program. Bolt returning to Lincoln after spending the last 5 years at A&M, and he helped the Aggies reach 5 straight NCAA regional appearances and a trip to the 2017 College World Series. Bolt's a native of Conroe, Texas, and played with Nebraska from 99 to 02. And there are some quotes from Will Bolt, I should say, Kendall Rogers and Childress and Van Horn on all of that. Will Bolt is just fantastic. Here is Bolt's thoughts on the Nebraska job. The opportunity to come back home to Nebraska and lead the Husker baseball program is such a blessing and honor for my family and me. It's such an exciting time in Husker athletics with the foundation laid by Bill Moose, with the athletic department and the success Coach Erstad and staff have had on the field. My family and I have the fondest affection for the Huskers in the city of Lincoln and truly cannot wait to be part of the Husker family again. That's big time. Bill Moose, some thoughts on Will Bolt. Bill Bolt's been a winner at every stop and has made as a coach and a player. I'm proud to welcome him back to Lincoln as our next baseball coach. Will was part of the most successful teams in the history of our baseball program, and he knows what it takes to win here. Will has proven to be an outstanding recruiter wherever he's coached. He understands the appeal of Nebraska and everything our baseball program and university has to offer the student athletes. Here's the number. Bolt is going to get a five-year deal for $300,000 annually. 300 grand, 5 years. Will Bolt, welcome back, Will Bolt. So, thoughts on this. This is the name that you had to get if you didn't get Rob Childress. Period. Why? Some of you will scoff. Not many. There's a few out there. They're like, well, why did we go get Will? Who else? Well, Childress wasn't coming back. That door got shut last week. Pretty sure Moose was able to meet sometime this week here in Omaha with Will, okay? And you just had a decision to make, and you had a recommendation to get. You had to reach out, if you're Bill Moose, to Coach Van Horn. You had to reach out to Rob Childress. And Bill Moose, being as good as he is at his job, probably did that. And you've got the recommendation. Coach Brett emails in, chris@halevarsity.com. He's a little upset he didn't get considered a little bit further in this job process. Will Bolt back in Lincoln, $300,000 a year, 5 years. So Will Bolt's ready. Will Bolt's done his time. Will Bolt has been a part of a program in Lincoln that played at Buck Belzer and was an afterthought, was an embarrassment from a attendance and facilities standpoint. Nebraska always had coaches and players that did their best. They just didn't win as much as they could have or wanted to until Coach Van Horn got here. And what Van Horn did is go find guys that Texas and Texas A&M turned their nose up towards. And Dave Van Horn brought kids to Nebraska from Texas, from Kansas City, from Missouri, okay, from Big 12 area. And they won. They were gritty. They were tough. It didn't hurt that there was a Shane Comine, a Jabba Chamberlain. It didn't hurt that there was an Alex Gordon. It didn't hurt that there was a Jeff Wisey. It didn't hurt that there was an Adam Stern. And it did not hurt that the guy who pushed everybody in that clubhouse was Will Bolt. Will Bolt is a guy that understands Nebraska. Will Bolt's a guy that saw what won for his teams in the mid-2000s when he was a volunteer assistant in 05 and what won for the Nebraska teams from 1998 through 2002. What won was Nebraska kids, was Nebraska arms, was in-state talent, was recruiting in-state talent. And that is absolutely what Will Bolt will do. And Will Bolt's also going to be able to use his Texas ties to bring Texas kids up to Nebraska. Also his history in JUCO. He has got connections because he was a JUCO coach to go find difference makers, find guys that can run, can hit, can field, and can be some big-time arms. So here are some quotes to pass along to you from Rob Childress that Rob Childress had to say to D1Baseball.com. Now, we're not surprised Will Bolt got named. We're maybe a little surprised with the timeline, but this makes sense. You got opening ceremonies tonight. You have the College World Series get underway tomorrow. And when ESPN turns the power back on, They're going to be talking about the College World Series, and they're going to be talking about Dave Van Horn, and they're going to be talking about Dave Van Horn's assistant, former Husker standout Will Bold, taking over the program. So Nebraska has their national pedestal to be mentioned all weekend long. And that's part of the marketing and sizzle from Bill Moose. So back to Childress, because he was kind of the top draft pick for a second. Childress's buyout was over $1 million per D1 baseball. The Nebraska also inquired about Pat Casey. That makes a lot of sense because Coach Casey, a friend of the show, especially this time of year, was not returning to Oregon State. Coach Pat Casey's done incredible work winning national championships at Oregon State when Oregon State does not turn out routinely a lot of baseball guys, but Pat Casey won in an area similar to Nebraska. I think Nebraska has more in-state baseball talent, clearly. But you get my point. You wanted a place that wasn't a traditional baseball school. So Bolt is the guy, and when it comes to Coach Rob Childress's take on it, Rob's quote to D1, couldn't be more excited about Will and his wife, Lauren, and his entire family to get back to the alma mater. That's special. And Rob Childress said some many, many thank yous to Will. They'll be forever thankful to him and his family for all they've done at A&M baseball in 06 and 07 in the last 5 years. And this is the other kind of telling comment from Childress. Just like Darren Erstad, he's going to care about the program like no one else. He's going to work tirelessly to build on that success that Darren's built up in the Big Ten. Dave Van Horn weighed in. Will started for me as a true freshman at Nebraska. He's a fierce competitor, as fierce as I've ever coached. He basically willed our team to the College World Series his senior year, and as tough as a guy as there is. So you're going to have a tough program. You're going to have a disciplined program. You're going to have a fundamentally sound program. You're going to have guys who care a lot, not only to win, but to go win the right way. He's paid his dues. He has contacts in recruiting. And Will Bolt knows how to scout and develop. And this is a win for Nebraska. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. I know Childress was the guy that was kind of the slam dunk everybody wanted, but this is not a bad get at all for Bill Moose. This is a big-time get for Bill Moose to go, I'd say, 3-for-3. I know you didn't get Childress, but you still got Will Bolt. And the thing that's nice, Bolt has had 2 years of life in the Big Ten, okay, as associate head coach. He knows the challenges of the Big Ten and knows kind of how to sidestep some of those challenges with in-state recruiting. Colton, Elijah, jump in here. We're going to wait on an announcement to officially, there is an announcement. Will Bolt, per the University of Nebraska, per Hail Varsity, per D1 Baseball, is your new head coach. You guys got to be smiling about this. Neither of you guys remember Will that much as a player, I would say. Am I fair to say that?
Correct.
I remember one College World Series game, 2005, and that's, I think, his senior year.
He was an assistant.
He was an assistant for that team. Never mind. So volunteer. I don't remember him playing at all, no.
Yeah, it was 99 through 2002.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You got to like this, don't you? I mean, I know it's not Childress, but it's pretty damn good.
I think the biggest thing looming, like people are questioning, is just where was Bolt on this list? And to me, I think fairly high. I definitely think Childress and Casey are obviously your 1-2 just because of the name recognition. But after that, I think it was, if you had a connection to Nebraska, you're next on the list. I just think that, like, the dream list, of course, would have been one of those two guys because of what they've been able to do as head coaches. But you look at who Will Bolt has been mentored by, one of the guys you were trying to get. And then on top of that, he has the experience of being at Nebraska, not only as a player, but as an assistant. So it kind of just, it all works out. Like, whether he was your number 3 or number 4, I mean, everything ties together. You're not paying, you know, you're not paying $1 million for someone that you weren't going to get. And, you know, 300,000, that's still, I think, probably third or fourth in the Big Ten. So you're getting, for what you're getting a quality coach and a name that at least people in Nebraska know and a name people have heard on the baseball scene.
You know, beyond the name recognition, you're getting a guy that has been successful.
Yeah.
Right? He's been successful when he was an assistant at Nebraska. He's been successful as an assistant at A&M. He was successful as a head coach in JUCO. And above all, he was the kind of the catalyst for success for Nebraska baseball when they made their turnaround and kind of said, why not us, right?
Right.
And what Van Horn and his kids and Childress and Will Bolt were able to do wasn't just flip Nebraska baseball into somebody that people started wanting to go watch, but it got Haymarket Park built along with the Salt Dogs, right? I mean, you had that partnership move through because, I was there when Texas came to town and people are carrying makeshift bleachers to the outfield because there's 8,000 and Buck hadn't seen more than 8, period, you know, in 20 years. That's an exaggeration, but you get my point. He made baseball great with Nebraska, and Nebraska's got a winner and a known winner when it comes to understanding how to get it done at Nebraska. We'll talk with Greg Smith coming up, recruiting. Weekend is a big recruiting weekend ahead at Hail Varsity. We'll talk with Greg next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are here at Zipline, just outside of TD Ameritrade Park. The Eli Young Band will get rocking here later tonight. Big-time announcement from the University of Nebraska, also confirmed with Hail Varsity. You've seen on social media Will Bolt coming back to Nebraska. As I scrolled down the official press release, Bolt will have a press conference June 20th, so we'll be there to cover that for you. And Bolt's schedule's pretty hectic right now, so I don't know that Coach will get back to us today. We welcome in a guy that is all over recruiting for Hail Varsity. Busy next couple of days as Friday Night Lights gets underway. Summer recruiting for Nebraska football. Greg Smith with us at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, I'm at Zipline. What are you doing?
I'm at the Hail Varsity headquarters, and the office is getting ready for this great fun night, the Friday Night Lights down at Memorial Stadium, followed by a pipeline camp in the morning on a quick turnaround. So I don't know who's having more fun here, but I'm pretty fired up for the event today.
No, that'll be good. And I love talking recon with you, bud, on Fridays. And kind of give me a sense what you're looking for tonight. And what I know it's the first of two this Friday, next Friday for Friday Night Lights with Nebraska. And I know pipeline camp is huge. That's how you win football games on the line of scrimmage, right? What are you anticipating tonight? Some of the names and some of the kids you're looking out for.
Yeah, tonight it's interesting because tonight I'm really the guys that we're going to probably be most pining to see and people have the most interest in are guys that aren't necessarily competing in the camp tonight. You have a pair of official visitors coming into town this weekend. Blaze Gunnarsson, the outside linebacker out of Iowa, will be making, I believe, his fourth trip to Lincoln since the season ended last year, and his second trip in just a few weeks here. Nebraska's locked into a battle with Iowa State for him. Looks like he's scheduled to visit officially to Iowa State next weekend and then be on decision watch. And then the second official visitor you have is Marvin Scott III, running back out of Florida, who I've been mentioning on Hail Varsity for a while now. I talked to him on the phone last month, and he told me that he was really looking forward to getting up north and checking out Nebraska. He said that he told me then that he has a great relationship with the Huskers, and he's a well put together kid, about 6 foot, 200 pounds, a little bit more of a bruiser that you might need traditionally in the Big Ten, but still has some speed to him as well. Has some really good offers from, I think, Florida, Florida State, Miami, Alabama is an offer of his as well. He'll be here for an official visit this weekend, and then unofficial officially. You'll have Xavier Watts will be back for the second week in a row to Nebraska. He'll be here unofficially, though, just kind of checking out sights and sounds and hanging out with Blaze Gunnarsson, who he's become pretty good friends with. So the guys that people are really looking out for, it sounds like, are the guys that are visiting officially or unofficially, but not necessarily participating in the camp. But there are always guys that pop up from these camps that you'll definitely want to know after the fact, because you just never know. These camps are so great for the exposure for the kids.
Greg, is it a tough juggle for the coaches while you're going to have officials this summer, this weekend, but also you're trying to do camp? I mean, how do you do both?
You know, it's interesting. It's not the thing that helps juggling that is, especially in the case of two of the three visitors I just mentioned with Gunnarsson and Watts, is they've been here so much that you have such a good rapport with them that you can, you know, bring them out on the field while you're doing instruction, or you can, you know, make sure at all times that there's some player commit or coach going over to say hello to them or talk to them a little bit while the camp is going on. So I think we saw some of this last year, for example, when during Friday Night Lights, they're holding the camping and instructing kids and doing a great job of that. But also a guy like Turner Corcoran was here last year for Friday Night Lights. And boy, I remember talking about that to you last year. And it seemed like every, you know, minute, not a minute went by where somebody wasn't talking to him. And it paid off down the road, it seems like. But they've done that before so that they know how to handle that type of situation.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We're on the road today as we're in Zipline in Omaha, just across from TD Ameritrade Park. Greg Smith will be all over Friday Night Lights tonight with HailVarsity.com. And your recruiting analyst can follow at Greg Smith HV. He'll be at Pipeline Camp tomorrow. And you mentioned Gunnarsson and Watts and Scott. I want to go to Scott real quick with Nebraska's running back situation, Greg. And, you know, what's ideal for Coach Held in that room? I know you got Mills in. We don't know what's up with Mo. And you've got Wandale. I mean, Mo and Wandale's off the field stuff to consider. Not that it's a long-term thing, but it's a misstep, right? So, you know, what are you kind of feeling? What are you hearing about the running back room, and where does Scott fit in, not only from a talent standpoint, but from a character standpoint?
Yeah, I think he fits in well in both regards. I think talent-wise, which is always a little bit easier to speak to because you just never know character-wise, right, is that he would be more of a Dedrick Mills type of back, which would be a nice way to groom him behind Dedrick Mills over the next couple of seasons if Nebraska wants to get him, and then plug him in after that or continue to work him along. You know, running backs tend not to redshirt if they're going to be productive down the road. But, you know, you need one of those guys on the roster, and then you need, you know, your guys that are faster, that are a little bit shiftier. A guy like someone who's coming in next week for an official visit, Tevion Morrison. There's a bevy of guys that play that hybrid role that Duck are, that are really shifty and can play on the outside as well as in the backfield that Nebraska is recruiting too. You're never going to, and I can say this a lot, you're never going to really worry about my opinion, the talent level at running back, as long as Ryan Held and Scott Frost are here. Like, those guys get after it, know what they're doing running back-wise. Held is as good as there is at identifying and continuing to stockpile his room when it comes to recruiting.
Greg Smith's joining us, Hail Varsity Radio. Greg, let's talk Pipeline Camp tomorrow. And Nebraska's done such a great job of branding with what has made Nebraska great. That's the lines of scrimmage. That's the offensive line when you think of the pipeline with Zadiska and, of course, Graham and, of course, Stey and Wilkes. And, I mean, just say it with me, that line and Wiegert. I mean, can't forget the guy who, on top of six chicken breasts a day, three bowls of grapefruit, won the major awards, right? So the pipeline was vintage, was stellar, was incredible. The defensive line with the Wistroms and Peters and Tomiches and the great history of Sue. What type of statement can Nebraska coaches make to kids from all sorts of regions tomorrow with this pipeline camp? I'm glad they're going back to using that name and that homage with the pipeline, But it's an area Nebraska really needs to separate themselves in. They've been great for so many years on the lines of scrimmage. They need to get back to being great again, and this camp can help tomorrow, can it?
Yeah, it definitely can. And what I'm really most fascinated by about this camp is as Nebraska and Adidas and even the All-American game are really helping to pump this thing up, because All-American game will have evaluators out here as well to make sure that the talent continues to grow, is that I want to see afterwards with the kids that came, what type of education did you guys get about the pipeline and what that's all about, and why this type of event is so special to be held here at Nebraska, right? Because we're in that age group where guys probably don't know, unless they're from the area, what the pipeline is all about. So I'm almost wondering if this first year of this camp, you're going to have kind of a re-education and a showcase of what this thing is all about here on the lines of scrimmage, while also being able to evaluate, a lot of good talent and have a lot of good players come through your campus and be able to see everything and see what you have to offer, and for the staff to get eyes on guys to really evaluate them. Then it's not just 2020 kids. You're going to have, it's open to 9th through 12th graders, or incoming 12th graders. So everyone in high school is open to come to this thing. So I'm really curious to see how this goes. And I think both Nebraska and Adidas are hoping that this turns into a big, annual event.
It's going to be nice for Nebraska to host it, yeah, and get the more kids, the more programs, the better. Greg, where are you at with what tonight and tomorrow and next Friday mean? Is this something that is kind of laying the foundation for the 9th and 10th graders? So when it comes to, junior year before they hit, junior summer before senior year, they remember Nebraska and pull the trigger on Nebraska. Is it for the 2021 group as much as anything, or 2022 even? I mean, where's Nebraska trying to hedge on this?
Yeah, I think that it is definitely for those. I think that you're always going to have some of those, in class, so those 2020 kids that'll be here and that maybe feel like they're a little bit underrated and they really want to make a name for themselves. You always have that element, which will be great for those kids. But I think that the 2021 guys will really want to come out and show them what they can do, and so will the 2022 kids. But what this allows Nebraska staff, along with the other staffs that are going to be there, because, Kansas still have people here, Arkansas, Miami, there's others as well. So, they'll be able to see them as well. But you get to get so much exposure from these other programs as a young prospect. But the key thing for Nebraska is they're on Nebraska's campus, right? So we'll have remembered all of the cool things that they saw at Nebraska and what Nebraska has to offer and this coaching staff as well. So it's really a great deal for Nebraska to build for the future, because they like to offer kids early as well.
Okay, commit watch here. Give me best case scenario. What's realistic for Nebraska? Got about 90 seconds. Who are some names that could say yes to the Big Red here between tonight, tomorrow, and next Friday?
Oh, I think that there's a chance, an outside chance, that Blaze Gunnarsson goes ahead and shuts things down this weekend. Like I mentioned before, he does have that trip scheduled to Iowa State. But I know Nebraska's going to want to put the full court press on him to try to get him to cancel that trip. We'll see if they're successful at that. If they're not successful at it, it does not mean the end of the world. I think Nebraska stands in a really good position with him. And it would be great to get Marvin Scott in the class now, considering Nebraska will want to take multiple running backs. He's already taken a couple of official visits already. Nebraska battling Virginia Tech and a couple of other schools. So if they could get him on board, but another guy that wants to make a summer decision before his senior season, just like Blaze Gunnarsson does. But if they can get a couple of those guys, if not this week, maybe next week or the week after, we can really get things rolling here, especially with how big next weekend's going to be.
That's Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, can't wait to see your work tonight and tomorrow. Thanks for the time, bud.
Hey, thanks as always, man. You guys have a good one. Enjoy the fly for me.
I will, brother. There he goes, Greg Smith. Mike Babcock's next on Will Bolt.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal. I'm still staring at that sign, the greatest show on dirt. And, man, we're just outside of TD Ameritrade Park. We're indoors today at Zipline in Omaha, the old market. We love our friends from Zipline. We are thankful for that they can put us up here and get things rolling here the night before the College World Series starts and kicks off. Good stuff. We were at Blur yesterday. Be back at Blur on Tuesday for a roadshow Tuesday. But excited to be all a part of it. And timing is everything. And Nebraska making their announcement today. Will Bolt is your new Nebraska baseball coach. Will Bolt, friend of the show for his years when he was as an assistant at Nebraska and even a player. If you go back far enough, I'm sure Kranak and I can find some sort of brutal old interview we did with him back in 1998. A guy who saw Nebraska baseball, the good, the bad, and the great with Van Horn and Will Bolt is Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, I don't like bringing you on the day after your Warriors got eliminated. That said, my friend, you got to be smiling ear to ear knowing Will Bolt like you do. He is back to lead the program. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's one of the few times that I was right, although I think I backed off of it after people said that wasn't going to happen. But I think he was the first name that I mentioned when on our website when the subject came up, because I thought that he was a logical choice. And then everyone said, no, that wasn't it, because Bill Moos wanted a guy with major college head coaching experience and so forth or whatever. But I think his background is speaks for itself. You know, he played at Nebraska. He was a two-time captain at Nebraska. He was head coach at junior college. He was an associate head coach here at Nebraska. He's been at Texas A&M, coordinates the offense there. Has done a really good job under Rob Childress. So I just think there's just everything is upside with him. And he's got that hard edge, that competitive edge that you want in a head coach. He was an infielder. He's a take charge guy. As a player, it seems like a good fit. And I hated to see Darren Erstad step aside, but if Darren was going to do that, and I think he did it for the right reasons, I think Nebraska did a great job in getting Will Bolt on board. I really do.
You know, the name you heard and the wish list was Rob Childress. And I entertained that for a while. I thought maybe you could lure him out, but when push comes to shove, do you go south to north, right? And the answer is no. And I think Rob wants to finish things off at A&M with a championship before he says goodbye. Will Bolt has done it the right way with the effort, the grit, and the grind, not only as a player, but also when you look at his choices from a coaching perspective. As a volunteer assistant as part of that 05 team, right? As a guy that helped kind of stabilize and get A&M in a high-level direction under Childress, and also the influence Van Horn has. I mean, you don't have Childress. Van Horn's at Arkansas. This is a great mesh of both guys that you're getting. Will Bolt's his own guy, but his influence by Van Horn and by Childress is really big time. And Mike, what I'm excited about is Will has seen what worked and why it worked under Van Horn, and also from a scouting standpoint, Will's the type of guy that can see some other things, be it in some Legion ball players or some JUCO kids or some guys that may be under the radar that can really turn into something special, because he was one of those guys that Texas and Texas A&M and even Tech, you know, I mean, they didn't think much of him, and look what he did at Nebraska.
Yeah, well, and he's got he's got an understanding of the state, you know, of the importance of recruiting in Nebraska as well, and I just don't think there's a downside when you evaluate everything that he brings with him. Plus a desire to coach. You know, to coach at this level, you can't underestimate that. Whether or not he's had that experience, he's been around that, And just the drive to want to do that, have that opportunity, is a positive. And like you said, I felt like, and again, I don't have any great insight, but I felt like it was, you know, Childress, they weren't gonna convince him with, he's got 2 years left on his contract, I think, there, and the amount of money he's making and all considerations coming south back to the north. I just didn't see it. You get a young, aggressive guy that, wants to be a head coach, has connections here and has done a good job where he's been. I don't see how it's not a good thing for Nebraska.
Great thing for Nebraska. And we had a chance to talk with part of the A&M radio team earlier this week. And, you know, the comment that was made was that this Nebraska was Will Bolt's dream job, and that from Scott Clendenin. And, I mean, it's a perfect fit. With what's being inherited, Babbers, got about 2 minutes here, you know, what can the outlook be for year one if everything stays above board injury-wise? You know, what can Nebraska baseball do in year one? I mean, we're waiting here 24 hours from now. Michigan's playing in the College World Series. Nebraska, I felt like, was a better team than Michigan, but Michigan did their thing, and kudos to them for getting to Omaha. I'm not saying Omaha next year, but, you know, Nebraska can follow up a very successful season in 19 and maybe get through a regional. I don't know. What's a fair year one for Will?
You know, that's the thing. There's always going to be a period of adjustment with a new coach, and I say the same thing with Fred Hoiberg. You know, there's going to be a period of adjustment there, and we saw a period of adjustment with Scott Frost. So it's difficult to say because you've got young players. You know, Darren Erstad had some young players that played important roles in this team that are coming back. So there's going to be some adjustment to the new coach, but I think there's talent there. You can be aggressive in recruiting. Let's give them an opportunity. You know, let's don't expect the miracles in the first season, but give them a chance to adjust and see how things fit. But I think there's some talent here and there's some young talent here, and I think that he'll be able to get the most out of those guys again. I like his attitude. He's a hard-nosed guy. It's win-win for Husker fans, I think, and for baseball. But I wouldn't want to put too much pressure on him right away. Give the guy an opportunity to move in here and set down his own put together his own program the way he wants to do it.
Mike Babcock, follow Babbers on Twitter at MDBabs. And read him with Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Your book is coming out here shortly. Adrian on the cover. It's beautiful. Babbers, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the insight and making time today for Will Bolt with the Will Bolt announcement. Thanks so much.
Hey, great talking to you, Smitty.
Take care, Babbers. There he is. And I just want to say that Babbers Warriors might be a bit of a struggle next year, but they'll fight through. We'll wind down hour one here from Zipline next.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low of 65 degrees and south winds at 10 to 20. Saturday, scattered showers and storms with a high temperature around 88. That's the forecast on Lincoln's ESPN. Right now, it's 84.
College football, college basketball, the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and high school sports all right here on ESPN Lincoln.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Here at Zipline, it is Will Bolt Day. As Bolt has been announced as your Nebraska baseball head coach, Bill Moos being the man once again. The Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' is Bill Dolman coming up in 10 minutes. A gambling hit in a good way with our friend Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago in the desert coming up here in next hour. We spent a lot of time this hour talking about Will Bolt. Can you say home run higher? Yes, I can. And I can say that, and we can record it, and we can play it back in 3 years. We can play it back in 5 years because it's going to work. Blind faith, I guess, is what you could say. But the reason I can give my endorsement is because he has won and been a part of programs that have won. And he's been the reason that the programs have won. Dave Van Horn, Rob Childress, it does not get any better than that when it comes to recommendations, especially with Nebraska baseball. And both are going to look Bill Moose in the eye and say, here's why Will's your guy. I've got a lot of people, if I'm Rob Childress and Will Bolt, that are part of my coaching tree. But the part of the tree they like best is Will Bolt. And it's going to be nice. He is going to be able to recruit in-state. He is going to be able to evaluate in-state. That is going to be a priority for him. And he has JUCO ties, and he's a Texas guy. And he can get Texas talent back to Nebraska. He can get different – I mean, he's recruited everywhere in the country, and being at A&M allowed him to do that, right? But he's also had to find the kids from in-state Nebraska. I can't be happier for Nebraska baseball fans than I am with a guy that I go back with a ways, not that we're boys or best friends or Christmas card people, but, I mean, Will's always been good to me and the show, and excited for Will Bolt to be back in Lincoln after doing his PhD work with Childress, working for Coach Erstad, and he knows the Big Ten. This isn't going to be a shock to his system coming from the SEC to the Big Ten, because he went from the Big Ten to the SEC. Weather outside's fabulous. Sunshine, gorgeous. And I'm telling you to get to your friends at Austad's when you're in Lincoln. 27th and Pine Lake is the location. Chris DeBusk is their master fitter. What does fitted golf clubs do for you? Well, people don't pick me last anymore. All right. I can putt. Those approach shots are great. The three hybrid I have is fantastic. And what Chris did for me was took me under his wing one Saturday afternoon, and they filmed video analysis, pictures, and then they had digital measurements, right? We're talking technology use with ball speed, club head speed, carry distance, and then try out the clubs. Turns out that Mizuno's fit me the best. They can fit you. And take care of Dad this Father's Day weekend with Austad's apparel and gear. And make an appointment to get fit today with Austad's, austads.com. We are out of time. Hour one. Time for a refill, right? We're at Zipline here in the Old Market, just across from TD Ameritrade. Kicking off the College World Series. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's hour two at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, on the road in Omaha as we stare at the sign, the greatest show on dirt, the road to Omaha. Is press conference day yesterday and today. CWS gets rolling tomorrow. Dave Van Horn and his Hogs under the lights. Michigan gets rolling with A&M. I should say, I wish it was A&M. Gets rolling with Texas Tech. We're at Zipline. Our friends from Zipline Brewing, man, they are awesome. They have us up here kind of perched in the loft. I don't know if that's strategic to keep me away from the taps. I don't know, but it's a good time. A lot of College World Series fans here, Nebraska fans out and about. What a great weekend for baseball. They got kicked off with the Royals last night, and we'll be back up here for the CWS next week. We bring in broadcast veteran, part of NBC Sports, the pride of Fairbury, and he has been around Nebraska baseball before it got hot. He saw it when it was four people, all related to probably the catcher at Buck Belzer, as Nebraska makes their announcement. Will Bolt, your new baseball coach. We'll get his thoughts right now Bill Dolman with us, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, how's your Friday, bud?
You know, it's going okay. There's no snow on the ground in Colorado. I don't have to go downtown to smell what's going on down there. So it's an okay Friday out here in Denver.
You know, it's anytime you don't have to smell what's going on downtown in Denver, that's a good thing. And we'll just leave it at that, because we've had some strong smoke smells around the dorm areas in Nebraska the last week. So we'll get your take on that in a little bit. But, Bill, you've been around Nebraska baseball. You know Coach Childress. You know Coach Van Horn, both highly recommending Will Bolt, as Bolt was named the coach. You covered Will at Nebraska. And what do you think here? You love Erstad, and you respect what he did. Now you have Bolt coming in, his first D1 coaching job.
Well, I think it's a great hire for Nebraska because, you know, we say so often you need somebody who understands the special culture that is the university, that's the athletic program, and that it's the entire state. You don't just have a job there. You've got a responsibility to uphold a lot of things. And I've said it many times, you know, if you embrace Nebraska, Nebraskans will embrace you. And you have somebody in Will Bolt who gets it, who was a part of it. He came from Conroe, Texas. But, you know, he understands the challenge that's ahead of him, clearly embraces it, wanted the job. And I think it's a great hire for Nebraska at, you know, a relatively speaking bargain price. I know, you know, the elite coaches these days are making several hundred thousand dollars. I don't know if anybody's making $1 million in college baseball. Straight salary, maybe that's the case. But you get somebody at the age of 39 for, you know, under $500,000, from what I understand. I think it's a great hire. I think it's a great opportunity for him. And it's the potential for something to be a very long-lasting and fruitful relationship.
Bill Dolman's with us. Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. NBC Sports, the pride of Fairbury. What attribute do you like most about Bill, about Will? What's going to make him thrive at Nebraska? And I know there's familiarity, but he's got both sides of it. He's coached and he's played.
Well, I think the main thing for me that is that he has become a Nebraskan, if you will. Again, I know he's from Conroe, Texas. I know he spent most of the last decade, you know, in the Texas A&M program. But when you come to Nebraska and you're part of the program for 4 years, it's a lifetime experience. So I like the fact that Nebraska has reached back into the family and given somebody an opportunity to take over the program that understands the culture, understands the challenges, and isn't afraid of a fight. And I think the thing with Will Bolt that is really attractive is he does have Texas roots. And he has spent, you know, the last, 5 years as a full-time guy and 2 other years I don't exactly know his resume with Texas A&M. But I know he spent a significant amount of time down there. He's recruited there, the high school ranks, the junior college ranks. And I think that that's going to be a recruiting background that is going to enable him to bring players out of Texas to play for Nebraska. I know he's done a pretty good job of bringing Nebraska players out of home and taking them down to Texas. And I think you'll find, too, that there are going to be some high school coaches and probably junior college coaches in the state of Texas who are going to want to help out. Nebraska may not get the best player out of Texas, but they're going to get the kid that can play, wants to play, and wants to play hard. And when you have relationships with high school coaches in the state of Texas, and I've been down there a lot, and I know what this culture is all about, you're going to have coaches who are going to say, Will, I got somebody that can help you out at Nebraska. And when you have those roots and those relationships, you're going to be able to draw people who just want a chance. And Nebraska will give players who are willing to work hard a chance to become the best they can be and to become a part of something special. Will Bolt knows how to speak the Texas language to get those kind of players. He knows to go into a living room and say, Whataburger is better than In-N-Out. Whataburger is better than Five Guys. And that's important down there, right? It really is. And if you can speak the language of Texas to Texans and draw them and sell them on Nebraska, you're going to get some good players out of there. But I also know that he knows he has to be able to speak the same kind of language and he runs us in a dinner table with people in Nebraska. He knows how to do that. So I think he's got relationships that have been built over his assistant coaching career that are really going to pay off, because I think people, coaches, are going to want to see Will Bolt succeed in this opportunity.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio.
I think I've lost you.
And, you know, in hindsight, they could have used a guy like Will Bolt, because Nebraska and Will Bolt were beating A&M in Texas in the Big 12. But that's what I'm excited about, is kind of his eye for talent and his ability to develop.
Well, think about this, too. You know, he has been at this coaching game for a while now. Now, apparently, from what I have read, Rob Childress was probably Nebraska's number one candidate. Prior to taking over at Texas A&M, Rob Childress had 1 year as a head coach, and that was at a junior college, Texarkana College. 1 year. And here he was the guy, right, that everybody pointed to. You know, Will Bolt has been around long enough, the college game long enough, to have established roots, to establish relationships that can pay off for him at Nebraska. He was a competitor. People loved watching him play. People embraced him when he was a player at Nebraska. I think this is a great hire. Is it the home run hire everybody thought that might happen? Probably not, but it was certainly one that I think everybody is universally going to accept and say this is going to turn out to be a guy who had a double that turned it into a triple and ran all the way home and scored. So I think this is a great hire for Nebraska in many ways.
Great fit, great hire, and Nebraska will go to work. Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Bill, you got Friday Night Light camps tonight, Pipeline camp tomorrow, more recruiting camps next Friday, and Nebraska's looking to continue to infuse talent. Where are you at with the last 10 days? We've gotten your take on Maurice Washington. Earlier this week you had Wandale Robinson. I've had a chance to chat with him during signing day, and very, very humble kid, a kid that's really put himself out there to put the work in to be great. So I was surprised when there was marijuana possession charge. I shouldn't be surprised, as rampant as it is in college. And with the culture of the program, and where the program's at with the off-the-field stuff. And, I mean, it's going to happen to other programs as well. That's not an excuse. That's a reality. And moving forward with it here, do you think Nebraska, and specifically some of these leaders, right, that Coach Frost is handing the baton to, the keys to, are going to be able to clamp down and keep this from happening, guys misstepping off-field?
You know, here's one of the things that's really striking to me. Is, and again, I think one of the banes of our existence as a society, Twitter, Facebook, the ability to, for everybody and their cousin to comment on everything that happens in our world today. It's just, and to do it anonymously. And so as you read these stories and then you read the comments, I'm stunned by the number of people who say, well, everybody's doing it. What's the big deal? You know, I'm an old guy now. I get it. And I understand what the laws are. Lord knows I live in the bastion of this, you know, change in society in Colorado. You know, there are laws, but there are rules. And I don't know what Nebraska's rules are surrounding some of these things. I would assume that it's probably frowned upon. So whatever the laws might be, whatever society may say now, whatever somebody anonymously might say on the internet, if there's a rule in place within the program, even if the laws say it's okay and society says it's fine, you got to adhere to the law or to the rule. And I don't know what Scott's rules are, but I would think that this is not exactly something that is championed and okayed. And so if there are rules in place and these guys have violated them, then there needs to be certain actions taken. I think Nebraska is in desperate need of a unity council. I don't know if that's in place. I don't know if it's in the works. But I can tell you, when I was around and I saw that firsthand, the accountability that is called upon and demanded by the peer, that's pretty powerful. So if these guys are coming in and deciding that they're reading the rules in gray ink and not black and white, somebody needs to point out and say, this is the way we do things around here, no matter what they say down in the legislature or what the laws of the country are becoming. So I don't think Maurice Washington should play football this year. I think that this whole offseason has been way too distracting for him. Maybe that's not even punitive. I just think it's been so distracting for all of the things. How can he possibly be 100% focused on the year ahead?
What's your take on Wandale? What's your take on a guy like Wandale who missteps right after another teammate already misstepped?
Okay, I don't know the character of every leader that is at Nebraska right now, but I've certainly read a lot about Muhammad Berry, and I remember talking about the farmer kid last year and the way that they purported themselves, Stanley Morgan, those kinds of guys. Somebody needs to get a hold of the youngsters coming in and saying, this is how we do it at Nebraska. This is the way this program is going. This is the direction, and this is the way you need to conduct your business. It's not like it was before, and what you do beyond here, that's your business. But right now, this is how we do it. This is how we're going to get to where we're going to go. And if you want to be a part of it, then you need to be in lockstep with us and not with your own thinking and your own way of doing things. Because when you go to Nebraska, you become a part of something. I've said it before. You don't go there to get something. You can give, and you will get a lot more. And those guys need to understand that if they give to the program, they're going to get a lifetime experience out of it that's going to make them a hell of a lot better than whatever bad decisions they're making in the moment.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Bill, about 30 seconds to 45 seconds. Is Golden State's run done?
Yeah, I think so. I said this, going into the playoffs. I think you're going to, before, KD got hurt, I think that there was going to be a max contract elsewhere. The Klay Thompson injury is going to set him back about a year. I think he'll come back next year, but it's not going to be the same. All those guys are getting a year older. Steph Curry did not take over the fourth quarter last night. Who knows how much longer Steve Kerr is going to be in that job? I mean, he's taken to the mountaintop. You think he's going to watch it, go down? I doubt it. So I think that all of the obituaries that were being read on the air last night are probably pretty factual.
I think they got one more in them if they get KD re-signed and Klay gets re-signed. And I'd like to see them in Toronto a sequel. I'd love to see a sequel.
I don't think Toronto's going to be there next year.
Okay.
It was a wonderful run. It was a great story. But they're going to get picked off. Nick Nurse is a great story. Here's a guy, you talk about Will Bolt, rising through the ranks to get the gig that he had. I remember when Nick Nurse was the head coach of the Houston Rockets D-League team in, where was that? Rio Grande Valley. And here he is now the top coach in the NBA. It's a great story just seeing him rise. But I don't think either one of those teams are going to be in the finals next year.
Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, Hail Varsity Radio, NBC Sports, at Bill Dolman. Bill, appreciate you much, brother. Have a great weekend, and thanks for the time today.
All right, go Big Bolt.
Go Big Bolt, says Dolman. Get that T-shirt printed, Hail Varsity. Love it. Reminder about your friends at West Blue Realty. I talk about the folks at West Blue, Tom and Kelly. They do an amazing job at West Blue Realty. If 2019's the year you've got to make a move or you want to make a move, and residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities is what you're targeting, West Blue Realty is there for you, westbluerealty.com. And tell you what, when you mention Hail Varsity, West Blue Realty will provide up to $1,000 off the closing of your next home. I've paid closing costs the last two times I've moved. I'm still PO'd about it, all right? Tom Luby can make it happen for you at 402-540-3768. Kelly Hofschneider, 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue. WestBlueRealty.com, 233 South 13th, 11th floor. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago's next with your gambling fix.
402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. College World Series time. Rocking and rolling from Zipline. We say hi to the pride of Chicago. It's Danny Burke time, Burke's Best Bets. We love catching up with Danny every Friday. Mr. Burke, how's the desert, my friend?
It's good, Schmitty. I think I mentioned this last week to Colton, but unfortunately it's hitting triple digits here, so my Irish self is slowly being accustomed to this hot weather. But besides that, it's going pretty good. How about yourself?
I am tan, man. I look good, and I feel good. Listen, there's no shame in ditching the sunscreen, getting a little shade on you, and swimming up to that bar at the Hard Rock. You can do what you want. Don't let anyone tell you differently.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to do. That's a good idea for sure.
Hey, it's been busy, and I don't know if you've got any data on College World Series favorites or not, but we'll get there in a little bit. But overall, you had an exciting games, or I should say Stanley Cup final, with St. Louis winning for the first time. You have been selective, and I like your discipline with that, on what and where to go when it came to betting hockey. And you had the Warriors go down in six last night. And, man, Danny, what are some things that you kind of you take with you here with the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals for 2019, like lessons learned when it comes to the wagering that went on, be it side bets or value? What did you take away?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think we're just as, you know, sports fans in general, we're pretty fortunate to have a great Stanley Cup and an NBA championship this year. I mean, last year, I guess it was fun with the Golden Knights, seeing them kind of try to go in there and win in. Then Ovechkin obviously got a ring. So whatever side you were on, you were kind of happy because it was exciting. But then on the NBA Finals, you know, it was the Cavaliers getting demolished by the Warriors. So that wasn't as fun, but this year is completely the opposite. I think it was great in both series, even if you're not a fan. You know, a lot of people aren't fans until the playoffs, especially for hockey, but I think this series turned a lot of people on, especially being that the Blues broke their streak. So, I mean, I've said this before, being a Chicago guy, of course I was going against the Blues, and it was tough because it's the Bruins, and Boston just wins everything. So, honestly, I pretty much stayed away from most of the games. It was more like, I'll recommend this pick to a buddy. And, you know, I had a few bets that hit and did well, but then the one I ended up taking was Game 7 with the Bruins because I was like, it's Game 7, so why not bet it? And also, I saw the tweet about Big Poppy coming on.
Yeah.
He's going to come on to the Jumbotron, deliver a message, because that's what I thought he was going to do originally. And I saw the tweet, and I was like, all right, there it is. It's game over. And then, of course, he never comes on, apparently. So I feel like everyone who bet the Bruins should get refunded or something. But no, seriously, no, it was a good series. Hockey's a little bit tougher to handicap for me, especially when it comes down to the playoffs for both sides, because the thing is, these odds makers, it's different than the regular season because they only have the one series to focus on. So the playoffs isn't really where you're going to make your money unless you catch a hot streak and you're just doing really well, then good for you. But otherwise, it's more just for entertainment purposes, in my eyes, as someone who kind of tries to bet every single day on sports and make some winnings from it.
Danny Burke's with us, the pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets, Hail Varsity Radio. And last night, you had Kawhi finish things out for Toronto. You had Golden State minus 2.5. That thing, it was a weird ending. It sucked, man, to watch Clay get hurt like he did. I mean, you had snake bitten Golden State, and Toronto earned it, man. They were good. I want to see a second act here. I want to see a sequel to Toronto Golden State, and I want to see it with everybody healthy with Golden State, because I think Toronto's that good. If we can keep Toronto's team together, right? I mean, I think the role guys for Toronto have been phenomenal, but you had role guys step up for Golden State, especially Iggy yesterday, and Curry couldn't answer. So yeah, I thought Golden State would will themselves to win Game 6, and they almost pulled it off.
No, yeah, see, I had the Raptors winning the series before Game 4, got them at minus 110, which is a great series price for whoever you were betting. So luckily I got that with the Raptors, and I was with you. So I threw a little bit on the Raptors last game. And then this game, I stayed away from until I live bet. But I thought the Warriors were going to win this game. It's officially their last game in Oracle. They had the momentum going their way with what happened in Game 5. So I thought the Warriors were going to pull this one out, too. But right as I saw Klay go down and I saw that knee kind of buckle to the side, I hopped on. I live bet the Raptors plus 2.5. And then all of a sudden, I see Klay start walking back out. I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Oh, man, you had to be panicked.
Yeah, so I was like, I feel terrible for this guy, but it's like I also kind of like, crap. I mean, there's no way he can play, right? And then he went out. And obviously that sucks because, you know, I agree with you. I would love to see a rematch. I mean, it was a depleted Warriors team. Unfortunately, I kind of hope that's not going to be the story heading into the summer about this championship. I hope it's more so about the – you know, the toughness of the Raptors and kind of Canada getting their first championship and how the whole country just banded behind them. The role players-wise, too, the Warriors, some of those players stepped up, but the difference was the Raptors, their role players did it more consistently. I mean, look at Fred VanVleet. He got one MVP vote, actually, and
should've.
He dropped 22 points yesterday. I mean, representing Rockford, more so Illinois for your boy, but it was fun to see him play and just do a great job, and of course, Kyle Lowry played great on the road, and I tweeted out, I was looking at his points before, it was over under 15, he ended the first quarter with like 14, and I was like, slowly regretting not taking that one, but sometimes that's just how it goes. But yeah, the resiliency of Klay Thompson was amazing. I don't know how you can't respect that guy or just offer him a max deal, whatever it is, but I did see a report, it looks like it is an ACL, so that's going to be tough for him, unfortunately, so hopefully he could just bounce back, and yeah, maybe a rematch. That would be fun to see, a healthy one at that.
Danny Burke's with us, the pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bet, Sail Varsity Radio at Danny Burke 5, where you follow Danny on Twitter. Danny, what are some trends you like? Let's get to baseball. Let's get some of Burke's Best Bets. You've been crushing it on the weekends.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying. I mean, for some reason, Tuesday and Wednesdays have just been beating me down. It's just an automatic fade for me after their notice. I don't know what it is, but you know, on their weekends, we've been doing pretty successful. Last weekend, I believe we were about 6-1, so hopefully we can replicate that once again. So I got three picks for today. I'll start off in Atlanta. I like the Braves minus -135. The Braves currently have a game and a half lead over Philly, and Philly's coming to town. We got Max Fried, who's 7-3 with a 3.75 ERA, 1.29 whip at home. He's a southpaw, and he also has a 2.75 ERA at home, and he's going against Nick Pivetta, who's been a solid pitcher for the Phillies. Here's the thing, though. Against Atlanta, he's got a 1.93 whip and a 7.71 ERA and only 4.2 innings pitched. Those numbers may be a little bit skewed, but the Braves did beat him up in a little of amount they saw him. And then some OPS numbers for Atlanta the last 7 days. They're third in OPS. At home, they're fifth. And at night, they're fourth. And then on the other side, Philly at night is 13th in OPS, 20th on the road. And then in the last 7 days, they're 16th in OPS. And then some interesting trends here. The Braves, with no rest, they're 38-20 straight up. After a win, they're 25-14. As a favorite, they're 31-18. And then for Philly, as an away underdog, so that's just an underdog overall, they're 7-10 on the road, 15-16. Now, the one stat that does stick out for the Phillies, they are 7-2 with a day off. However, the Phillies have lost 8 of their last 13 games, and they just dropped 2 out of 3 from Arizona, and they did not play Thursday. And the Phillies haven't played the Braves since sweeping them in a 3-game series. So it's kind of a vengeance spot for Atlanta here. So that's why I like them to lead this series off with one of their aces in the southpaw, Max Fried. So that's my first game of the day. My second one here is Houston run line. They're hosting the Toronto Blue Jays, who, of course, have just been abysmal all year. Aaron Sanchez for the Blue Jays, 3-7, 4.25 ERA, 1.54 whip. Every road game he's lost but one, the winning team has covered the run line. So I love seeing numbers like that. And then on the other side, Garrett Cole for the Stros. He's 5-5, 3.72 ERA with a 1.0 whip and a 0.90 whip at home. So those are some great numbers to back behind. And then some OPS trends. Last 7 days, Toronto's 28th in OPS. Versus righties, they're 29th, which is second worst. At night, they're also second worst. And on the road, they're 27th. And then on the other side, Houston versus righties, they're 6th. At home, they're 6th. And at night, they're 2nd. And Blue Jays did just win against Baltimore, so they have a long flight to Houston as well. So think about it, all the way from Baltimore to Houston. Astros had the day off after falling to the Brewers, so they had a day to recuperate. And I do like the Astros on the run line, considering with one day off, they're also 6-2 on the run line. So that's my second pick. And I'll try to go quick here. My third and final pick is the Twins run line, -1.5, Kyle Gibson. 6-3, 4.14 ERA with a 1.28 WHIP for the Twins. He's also 3-0 with a 3.24 ERA at home, which is great. And on the other side, Brad Keller for the Royals, he's 1-5 with a 4.66 ERA on the road. So those are not great numbers to trust. And then some good OPS numbers for Minnesota. At night, they're number one in OPS. Versus righties, they're number one. In the last 7 days, they're number two in OPS. And then the Royals on the other side at night are 22nd in OPS and 20th in the last 7 days. And remember, the Royals did get that nice win in Omaha, so that was nice for you guys to see. The Twins also coming off a win as well, beating the Mariners. So the Royals do have a little bit of a travel to Minnesota, and I don't think it'll affect them, you know, a huge amount because it's not that deep, but I think enough to where the Twins, one of the hotter teams, can get this done, considering on no rest, they're 33-21 on the run line. Division games 11-9, all games together on the run line, they're 38-29, and then for the Royals after a win, they're 8-13 on the run line, and with no rest, they're 24-31 on the run line. So those are my three picks for Friday: Twins run line, Astros run line, and Atlanta money line. So hopefully we can get a nice sweep going.
Danny Burke's been crushing it in baseball. At Danny Burke 5, the Pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets. Got about a minute and a half here, Danny. Thanks for jumping on with us. Where are you at with the U.S. Open? Have you laid any wood down here on some prop bets, some side bets? Have you gone in on Ricky? Are you waiting on Tiger? Can you lay out where you're at?
You know, Shmi, I did look at the board, and it came down to one of those things where I was just so invested in baseball and basketball that was going on, I didn't end up actually laying anything. But one bet that I was interested in doing, I think it was going to be Jordan Spieth over Tiger Woods, just a straight matchup. And I think Spieth was getting plus money. And, of course, you know, Jordan did not have a great day yesterday, and Tiger Woods is sitting at one under. So I know Dustin Johnson was obviously the heavy favorite as well as Brooks Koepka. But for that, right now, I might just wait until Saturday or Sunday to do a live bet and see as it comes narrowing down to who I might pick. But I do got to ask, who did you have? And also, who did my man Chewy have?
You know, I picked DJ, and that's on Chewy's advice. Chewy says DJ wins it at -6.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
So we tweeted that bad boy out on Wednesday, and we have run with it. I will see if I can find a golf course this weekend between baseball games. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, working for Musburger out in Las Vegas. Burke's Best Bets at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter is where you find him. Danny, have a great weekend, brother. Great to get caught up with you. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah, appreciate it, Schmitty. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to next week.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You know, sound advice from our friend Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, on baseball this weekend. Great to be back with you. We're here at Zipline in front of the College World Series, the greatest show on dirt. Again, we'll be back up here on Tuesday. Eli Young Band going to get crushing later tonight. And excited to be with you. Hail Varsity Roadshow Friday in Omaha yesterday and today. Big news, Will Bolt is your hire for Nebraska baseball. And when you see Bill Moose, buy him that cup of coffee, get him that piece of pie, and see if he needs a beer. Because the Moose is 3-for-3. And I know that there are other names and people that have had head coaching success, but you got a guy who knows Nebraska, can get Nebraska back to being, well, what Nebraska was when Will Bolt was running the base paths. Good deal for Nebraska. Got to be very excited. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can get in, can follow on Twitter. Do so, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt_radio. And give Colton a follow. Colton Stone at Two Birds, One Stone. Elijah Herbal at Herbal Essences. Weekend edition tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Mark Kranak will be back from whatever, we'll just say timeout. Whatever timeout he was in. Our timeout today has been at Zipline Brewing in Omaha in the Old Market. It's fantastic. Going to bring Colton and Elijah on here. Fellas, what'd you think last night of the NBA Finals? I was waiting for Curry to take over. Didn't happen. I saw five Warriors looking at each other like, well, I don't want to shoot it. You shoot it. And that's to take nothing away from Toronto. Toronto surged ahead, made some plays. They were just physical. And Kawhi was pretty big time. Van Fleet was huge with 12 fourth quarter points. And I almost puked on my bed because of what happened to Klay Thompson. I love Klay Thompson, love watching him play ball. And to see him go like he went out was tough. I mean, it reminded me of Copeland with how he got hurt. But I don't think the Warrior dynasty's done. I think they'll be, at best, maybe a 6 or 7 seed next year in the postseason. I think they'll land a decent draft pick and build on that, and they'll have one more title in them. They have 3. They've lost 2. Is it over for Golden State? Colton, you start. I say no.
Okay, well, I've got a couple of thoughts. One being that thing should have gone to Game 7 if Klay doesn't get hurt. He had 30 points already in the third quarter, and then he, muscles one out, puts 2 free throws in, and then he even gets back on defense. So the adrenaline was crazy in his body, but then it kind of went downhill from there. And then even you look at what they did at the end of the game, they had plenty of time. They get lucky, a ball bounces the right way, goes out of bounds, and they ran a very Brad Stevens play. They almost got it. Curry just missed it. It was a good look, but it just didn't drop. But I don't know if it's over. It's going to take a lot of money to keep it together, because if you're going to try to give anybody a max deal, that means 2 or 3 guys are taking a pay cut. Maybe one more, but they're a playoff team without KD and Klay, but they're not a title team without him. And who knows what will happen with Boogie. Dre, we don't know. Really, the only thing you've got is Curry and some role players. But who
right.
knows?
Right. Elijah, you jump in here too, and I'm going to respond to some of that real quick. I thought that Iggy was money. Boogie was good. Those were the two guys that needed to be decent to keep him around. And I said the Splash Brothers had to go for between 60 and 70 combined. Well, if Klay's there and doesn't get hurt, he already had his 30, right? And Steph needed to step up. And Steph's just too worn down. He gets exhausted on the defensive end because he gives great effort, or tries to give great effort anyway. And he is just getting more and more fatigued. And I know he's not a spring chicken. He's 30 or 31. So, Steph's great, but Steph's supposed to take over that moment. He didn't. Elijah, you're a big NBA guy, man. What are your feelings here on the Warriors?
I think this is the end of the Warriors dynasty. It's they're going to have to struggle to keep Draymond, KD, Boogie, and Klay. I think you can maybe keep 2 of those guys. And 2 of those guys are good.
Who do you keep?
If I'm picking 2, I'm picking KD and Klay, obviously. And you're going to deal with that bad year next year, because both those guys are going to be out almost all of next year, if not all of next year. So I'm going to try to keep those guys around. It gives me a chance in a couple years, and you're going to have to weather that storm next year. Hope Steph can at least lead you back to the playoffs.
See, I would probably keep Klay and Draymond for one main reason is they won
Draymond's
a title.
Your heartbeat.
Well, that's true, and they won a title with those two guys. Not that KD doesn't obviously make them better, and not that Boogie doesn't give them some kind of role off the bench. But we've seen them do it before. It's just a matter of who are those role players if they do keep Klay and Draymond and Curry together. Who helps them keep at least part of the original dynasty together?
Well, it depends on what Draymond's asking price is going to be.
If he comes in
wanting a max contract, tell him to get out of there. He's not worth a max contract to that team. He may be worth a max contract to another team, but not to that Warriors team. So it kind of depends what the asking price is. But I want to get back to Steph Curry's shot, because you said you thought it was a good look. And I'm not so sure. He's open, but it's Steph Curry, and Steph Curry isn't clutch. Steph Curry, 0 for 8 in his career in go-ahead field goals in the last 20 seconds of a playoff game. 0 for 8. Does Tyre take the lead? He's the best player on your team. He's the best player on the court, but I'm not sure you want him taking that last shot there. A fadeaway look from 3. Drive the rim. Here's the thing,
and he's... God, you expect him to make it, but he's never really had those moments, has he? He's dazzled us with ball handling, and let's shoot it from half court, and let's step back and continue a streak of insane shooting. But he's not had the pressure or the moment, because this Golden State surge when they're healthy, right? is, I mean, it's a tidal wave that destroys teams. It's like the old football for Nebraska fourth quarter. Everyone's gassed and you're punch drunk and you're going to run for 200 yards. That's what Golden State's offense, when they're right. healthy, has been, because you got ball movement, you have them moving, and then they get in rhythm with their shots and they share the ball so well. But you nailed it, Elijah, with the fact that Curry has not been clutch. He's still a guy that I want shooting that ball, but I would on the Golden State team to take and make that shot. I like Clay. Clay's my guy on Golden State. And I think Draymond is probably as good as Steph is, as good as KD is. Draymond being that heartbeat, I don't know what Draymond can do somewhere else. Because the guy had damn near 20 rebounds last night. He was possessed. And he doesn't care if he scores. You're not going to find somebody that's that intense defensively and big about finding and sharing the ball assist-wise and then wants to own the glass with a basketball IQ that's going to take that extra pass and make and find an open teammate. I think it's too perfect of a situation for Draymond with how he likes to play. I don't think Draymond gives a damn if he's a star or not. I think he wants to get paid. But as far as his role, I think he's happy with it. We'll see. Good discussion. We'll wind down a Friday here at Zipline in Omaha, just in front of TD Ameritrade Park, getting the College World Series kicked off with Hail Varsity Radio.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here at Zipline Brewing in Omaha. We love these folks. They are amazing. Zipline beer is incredible. They're not paying me to say that. All right? It's good stuff. We love Zipline. We love them in Lincoln. We love them in Omaha. And when you're up here for the College World Series, say thanks to your fellow Husker and Nebraskans, right? Come see Zipline before you head into the College World Series. Come see us. We'll be over at Blur as well on Tuesday. So two great folks, two Nebraska folks, and we're on the road Friday here with Hail Varsity. Big day today. Will Bolt named your new Nebraska baseball coach, and we'll have some more thoughts on that tomorrow morning, weekend edition, 7 to 9 a.m., myself, Mark Kranak. Big shout-out to Colton Stone and Elijah Erbel. Good stuff today. Good stuff this week. And Mike Babcock had great thoughts on Will Bolt, as did Bill Dolman. Greg Smith knocked it out of the park with your recruiting preview for Friday Night Lights. And you can log on shortly and catch the podcast on ESPN Lincoln. Select interview portions going to be on the SoundCloud as well as ESPN Lincoln's Twitter handle. And, of course, the entire podcast, you got to go to the old treadmill tomorrow. I do. Find us about an hour 25 of your time. And can log on either with iTunes or HailVarsity.com. So I got to ask the big question. I have baseball. I don't know that I'll get back in time for Junior's 6 o'clock start. That could be stretching it. But he has baseball against the Fighting David Gustafsons tomorrow at 6 p.m. I'm anxious to see Junior's squad, the Lincoln A's, play the Columbus Mariners. And it'll be good to get caught up with Gus. That's part of my weekend. Colton, what do you got going? Are you doing the gun show? Is it Tank Top Saturday? Elijah, are you umping? What do you guys got rolling?
Probably going to – well, I don't know. My dad
it's
has –
Tank Top Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's Tank Top Saturday, unless it rains.
When you walk into a place, do you kiss both arms? I'm just asking.
Just the gym.
just the gym.
We might be celebrating Father's Day a little early tomorrow, potentially, but other than that, I'm going to hang out. I'll be here at 6:45, so.
Tomorrow morning, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, I'll be coming in here with you. And then maybe get some pickup basketball, some friends tomorrow afternoon, enjoy the weather. It's going to be raining, beautiful. If the rain holds off, I might try to head up to College World Series, get a game in. Then I'll be working again Sunday, celebrate Father's Day with my dad Sunday night.
Good for you guys. I haven't, lobbied for 2-inch-thick ribeyes, but if anyone's listening.
That's what I'm doing,
Junior,
actually.
Mama.
My roommate works in the meat department at Hy-Vee, so I'm going to head over there, visit him after work.
Oh, tonight. Nice.
Yeah. get Which some bone-in ribeye. He's the one at, what is it, 60th and O? Somewhere around there?
56th and O? Okay. Yeah, 52nd and O.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah. Well, good. I got to meet your roommate. That's pretty good. Well, that is going to do it for us. Guys, you have a good Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all. And thanks to everyone who submitted pictures of you and your son in on ESPN Lincoln's Father's Day contest with our friends from Austed's and Wahoo Locker. We'll have that announcement coming up. But tip of the cap to you dads. And have a great Father's Day weekend with you and yours. And lots of great times with the College World Series. We'll be back at you tomorrow morning, weekend edition, 7 a.m. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. See you.